Dallas Rising.
Hey, hey, this is DRM here, and we're here live at night because it's a special night. We had a little thing called a Destiny 2 reveal gameplay thing, and we're going to talk about it. We, as in me, DRM, and my co-host, the beautiful Swagmonster51. Swag, how you doing tonight?
Yo, I'm doing good, doing good. Had a nice little work dinner. Ready to talk Destiny 2.
Yo, this was exciting. I mean, the day started out sad, unfortunately, around your neck of the woods with Michigan and Chris Cornell passing. Now it's a suicide. But then, honestly, once I read that, I was like, you know what? Sad to say, you know, the Destiny 2 reveal's coming up, and I'm going to feel a little bit better once 1 o'clock comes around, at least 1 o'clock east. And yeah, here we are. And what a great reveal. I'm so pumped for Destiny 2. I cannot wait. Like, my birthday's coming up. I got money for my birthday. It's going right towards Destiny 2, so I can just literally walk into GameStop. And I'm like, give me my fucking disc. And that's right. Give me my fucking disc. We can swear on the podcast now. You give me my fucking
disc.
Certainly
can. Oh. It's almost like now that I'm allowed to do it, I don't want to. It feels awkwardly legal.
It's like when you turn 21 and you can actually drink legally. It's like, now it's going to cost me money.
Right, so I'm just going to say dick.
Dick.
That's as far as I'm going.
Nice. Nice. Nice dick. Nice.
But really, no, with this stream, like, the biggest thing for me, like, just as a broad comment, just to open, like, before we get into the nitty-gritty, that was put on perfectly.
It was.
It wasn't Deej sitting down on a couch drinking lukewarm water. It wasn't him playing the game. They didn't have anyone actually physically playing the game.
No.
It was a person who was a professional in their work within Destiny 2.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about the thing they worked on, and then had a visual aid accompanied with it.
Yeah.
And then they walked off the stage and they handed it to the next person.
And it was great.
They got what, 6, 7, 8 different visual aids?
Yeah. Well, Luke Smith had a wardrobe change, if you notice. He went from one shirt to another shirt or a sweatshirt. He only wears sweatshirts. I don't know if you noticed that. He had like a yellow pattern, and then he had the three blue circles, whatever that means. But yeah, it was great. I think the only bad part was that Steve guy who talked about the open worlds. He was trying to do so many dad jokes. It just wasn't working. He was like, dude, let's move on, please. But everything else was great.
He stumbled a little bit, but I feel like he had such a huge part. I mean, the world is such a big thing in Destiny.
Huge.
And we can get further into it, but
yeah.
I really liked the way he presented. It was a little shaky, but I really do like... I loved Michelle Hugh, I think her name is.
Oh, Emmy.
Emmy Hugh, there.
Yeah.
She was phenomenal. Oh, she gave a great thing.
And she was emotional. She talked about the emotional connections we'd have as clans, and we'll talk about that later on because obviously we're a clan.
We're getting ahead of ourselves. Yeah, really.
But, I mean, that stuff was – you kind of got sucked into it. I mean, I was saying with Steve, he was the weakest, but it was a very strong presentation. Like, he was a B-plus compared to everybody else's A. It was just put on very well. They listened to our feedback about how – hey, we need people to actually play the game and not these fucking developers that, you know, get nervous in front of, you know, there must have been, what, 100, 200 something thousand people watching the stream today?
I think it got up to, last I checked, was 350.
That's crazy. So imagine these guys who sit in their studio in Redmond, Washington, and all of a sudden they're playing in front of 350,000 people around the world, not just the United States.
Right.
I get nervous too. Like, I get nervous when I stream and I get 10 people watching me.
Yeah.
I see the double digits. I'm like, people are watching. If I miss the dunk on Axis, I'm fucked. But, you know, 350,000 people, and then you get people on Reddit going, oh, look at this guy, he missed it. Overall, great presentation, great done, and the game to me looked phenomenal. The story, the mission they did in the tower, the guns, the way the guns work, the way the supers, when that fucking warlock went up with a goddamn sword, oh Jesus!
Yeah, it's really funny. Like, just talking about the supers. So that's the Dawnblade,
Dawn,
I believe.
The Dawnblade. Yeah.
So there's the Dawnblade. There's the Sentinel with his
Captain America
shield, and the Arc Strider, which we got to take a look at all three.
Yep. Yeah,
it's really interesting. It's, if you look at it, if you think about it, it's just three swords.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a one, he throws the swords, that's the fire. The other guy can block, it's the purple, you just block with it.
Yep.
The other one is like the quick, it looks like just you're slashing with
like
the sword.
Darth Maul.
So it's interesting to see that they took something that was in a weapon and they turned it into a super.
So
and
does that mean no more swords? I didn't see any swords in this, but
I didn't see swords either. And they specifically said, we'll talk about this in a minute, in the power weapon slot, they specifically mention heavy machine gun, grenade launcher, and then they mention the four special weapons.
Yeah. Yep.
So they didn't actually mention a sword. So I'm thinking probably gone for now. But you know, that's fine.
I'm cool with that. I mean, it was a gimmicky weapon in certain cases. I mean, it was great at the end of the Taken King because a Gala sword was pretty much the go to thing for everything. It was our Gala horn. And then because not many people really got the general concept of using the sleeper, they were just afraid to use it, and so they're like, well, I want something close up and killed now, so let me use the Gala sword, a la you kill the brand runner knight dude,
right, the knights, and all or that. The dark drinker on Axis, that was always a good option.
So let's start from the top. So I'm looking at Planet Destiny's site because there was so much, and I know Luke Smith started from the beginning and talked about that, you know, he was the guy in between us and the reveal, and then he showed us the opening cinematic, which at first I was getting kind of concerned. I watched Datto's video on YouTube the other day that shares his top 10 fears of Destiny 1 and how did we see the entire game before the game even came out. And so when they showed the first mission and the first cinematic of everything and then what happened in the tower and then, of course, there's the mission, I'm like, did we just get spoiled the entire first part? But then of course when they faded out, when Gaul showed up, I'm like, oh, there might be more, but we didn't see it. Like the whole entire, we lost our light, he saw the thing grab the tower, or the not the tower, the traveler. But anyway, so I was happy, you know, we got that. And then we move on to what says here: raids, nightfalls, and trials. Luke Smith mentioned early on in the gameplay premiere stream that only 50% of players completed the raid at 3D match level. The sequel aims to change this, expanding higher light activities to encompass all players. So let's talk about that. This essentially tells us that there's matchmaking in everything. There's matchmaking in raids. There's matchmaking in strikes. There's matchmaking, it sounds like maybe in trials. But it sounds like there's matchmaking in a lot of this stuff, which is a great or bad thing. They talk about it later on with the clans, and we'll talk about that later on too with guided games. But this sounds like something that we maybe have been looking for instead of using LFG to find that sixth person when somebody backs out the last minute because, you know, their dog is throwing up everywhere or something like that.
Well, yeah, well, since we're talking about it, let's just jump into guided games now, because that's always, it's been a terrifying thing, because even if you LFG into a nightfall, you get kicked out.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of fear in general in joining a random person from the internet that you haven't had a conversation with in order to play high level end game content. Strikes, nobody cares. PvP, nobody cares.
Right. Yeah.
But
strikes you care if the guy was AFK and all of a sudden he shows up at the end after he did all the fucking work.
Of course.
That, I'm
of
like, course, oh, but, God. But.
But, you know, at least he's not getting trolled. At least he's not getting kicked out, you know, right as the last hit on Axis is coming up, etc. So the big thing in this is that it's opt in. It's not forced matchmaking.
Right. Somebody, like, if I'm on, let's say I'm on Xbox, I'm not in a clan, and I want to do the raid. And to me, honestly, I got to 400 this past week using Iron Banner Mayhem Clash because I didn't know a group to do the raid. And when Robo and I did raids on Xbox, we ran into kids who had no idea how to do the fights, who couldn't do Vasek. And that experience scared me, honestly, into even trying to do a raid again on Xbox, so I'm not doing them. So this thing here will work, whereas I can go in as one person looking to do a raid, and it'll tag me in with a clan of five who open themselves up going, hey, we're looking for one guy, and we get together.
And that's the beauty, right? Because you're looking and they're looking.
Right, you have to
accept. It's not they're looking and you just want to play,
like they're gonna,
and they grab you. Yeah. You have the opportunity to accept, and they have the opportunity to offer the spot.
Right.
And so there's a little bit of a, I think they called it like your motto or something like that. You get a little bit of a preview into the clan, and you get the logo or whatever.
We have some work to do, I think, because
we have some.
Because our logo is great. I think it needs a little bit of an update, a little bit of a refresh. We have some talented members in our clan that might be able to help up with that. Our slogan right now maybe needs a little right now it's "We Wear Pink" mm-hmm. on Wednesdays. Maybe we need to change that to something more badass, like "We're gonna fucking rape, you know, babies" or something like that. I don't know, something not that bad, I know, but something along the lines that it's a selling point. Like, you, when you buy, like, when we, you're as old as I am, you used to go to the video store. We used to go to Blockbuster Video. We based mm-hmm. our rental experiences, because there was no internet, we based our rental experiences on the box art of the game. And if the box art looked great, then chances are we rented that game. We take it home, we put it in and go, "Get the fuck out of here. This game sucks." And you take it back. But there's one or two times that you get Earthworm Jim and you're like, "Whoa, this game's amazing." So we have to do the same thing as a clan. We need to clean ourselves up a little bit with the logo. They got those awesome flagpoles, like you see the flying underwear coming on, you know, Bravo, our alpha team. They got clan logos. It looks like custom logos. We can put our three eyes up there and change it up, make it like lightning, some badass shit. But those are things that they have to accept us by looking at our clan and go, yeah, they're cool because they're an endgame clan that does raids all the time. So I'm going to pick them. And then we can pick them by going, oh, cool, they're 400 light. They got stuff. I'm sure there's a way we could look at the dude and be like, what has he got equipped? Oh, cool, he's got yada, yada, yada. Okay, right. Let's grab him.
So, he's done something of value in the
game. Yeah, because they also kept saying, too, that we can see into how much the stuff they've done. You know, like now we have the Charlemagne bot in our Discord, so we can look up real quick how many wraths we've done, how many vaults we've done, what's our ELO for trials, and so on and so forth. Now, it sounds like a lot of that stuff is built into the interface of this game, so we don't have to go that far out to look and see what their stats are. It's right there in the game. Just hit a few buttons and there it is. And that's amazing. I love it. So it's going to be great. And it makes me very excited.
It's really surprising they've done what I thought they would never do, is they've taken a third party concept and put it in the game.
Yeah.
And the good thing about LFG, when someone else does it, if you're Bungie in this case, and someone else is doing the LFG for you, you don't have to support it. You don't have to pay for the service. You don't have to do anything with it. Someone else is doing it for you.
Right.
So now that they integrate this, it's now their product and they have to do it. It's going to be rough for LFG. I mean, I'm sure it'll still exist because you can specify items and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really interesting. So that leads me to think, what else? Are they going to have, I don't know, an item manager as opposed to a vault? Are they going to have, you know, things like that that we use on third-party basis
outside
the game?
Yeah, they kind of have that now with the tower. You can access your stuff through the Destiny app. It's just you have a lot more clicks to do than you would on, say, Ishtar Commander, or if you have a computer next to you, go on DIM on the Chrome. Or I think it was Ocelot that told me, inebriated Ocelot was telling me that if you have an Android phone, you can pretend that the apps on the add-ins are an app, and so you can load up DIM through your Android phone, which I was like, that's so cool.
Oh, wow.
I would rather use that than Ishtar, in my humble opinion. But anyway, I think you could do that on the Destiny app, but it takes so many more clicks, and it takes so much more time. We just want to get in there and go click, 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 and there it is. And
right.
Who knows with the new – there's probably going to be a new Destiny app when Destiny 2 comes out. They might have something as easy – I mean, they invited the DIM guy. I follow him on Twitter, and he was posting pictures of on the show floor. So they invited him, and they invited the Ishtar Commander guy. So they're recognizing. It's not like, oh, these guys with their third-party stuff.
Right.
They
right.
actually embrace them.
No, they want – yeah, they want to improve the quality of life with the game. So the matchmaking is great. Speaking of clans, the clan in-game features are going to be great.
Yes.
It's very limited at the moment on what we have, but it sounds like we're going to have a form of progression and then like a seasonally based clan wars type system.
I'm all about that.
Which is going to be great. I want to show off. You said last time we met, you know, in most common, heads up.
Yep.
We're going to prove it. This is another opportunity.
Yeah, and the new modes they have will go about those things as well. We have people in the clan, like myself, that are raiders. We got people in the clan like Smoke and Jiggler and CT and Under the Hood, who are PvP guys that are just going to light it up there. McNasty's another one. Then we got people like Uber and a few other guys that just explore, and they look like they have exploring things going on too. So It looks like they have stuff for everybody that's in the clan, which is perfect, because that's how we are a clan now, is we have different people that do different things and makes us whole. So it's exciting. Can't wait to see what's going to happen. Right now, unfortunately, it's all pretty much speculation at this point, except for what they told us today. But, I mean, we can just dream, I guess. Let's dream a little bit.
Like, literally, the only thing I tweeted today was just, like, Destiny 2 confirmed. that's as far as I was willing to go today.
Right.
Until like Luke Smith was like, "Oh, there's a raid." Like, okay, raid confirmed.
Raid confirmed.
But, you know, like until there was coming out of like the horse's mouth, I wasn't gonna say anything.
Right.
But we've gotten some pretty good footage now. We have.
Yeah.
Like I said, we got all this stuff.
But, I haven't seen much since when I got done watching the stream. I had to do adult things, and then I did more adult things, and now here we are. So. Just talking about it with you and reading it here on Planet Destiny are the things that are reminding me of stuff. But I haven't seen any of the stuff that, say, Tefty Teft and True Vanguard and Dr. Lupo and Sir Demetrius and all those guys did on the floor. I haven't seen any of their stuff yet. And I know they're going to create it and put it on YouTube in the next couple of days. So it'd be very exciting to see their take on it. Lumi, too. I think Lumi, I read his tweet saying that he went like 15-0.
He's got some gameplay up. He's got Golden Gun,
like he went Strikers
gameplay up, and then I think Lupo's got some Strike footage up, which is crazy to me. They've already got a lot of the guys have already recorded some stuff and put some stuff up.
Nice.
A lot of it's going down in the spoiler channel, but
okay.
You know, again, that stuff. If you don't want to know what the Strike is about, you may not want to go in there.
Right. Who knows?
But let's get
talk
back.
About,
yeah.
Let's talk about Crucible. That's the next thing that's here. Crucible is big, and it's something that I pretty much want you to explain a little bit more to me, being that this is a great change I'm seeing. I see a lot of positive feedback. I saw some a little bit of negative feedback, but I think it's more or less a change feedback. So more or less, oh, man, this is different. I'm used to this, but now it's this. And what that is Crucible now is 4v4 across the board on all game modes with various improvements and new modes being added, such as Countdown, which is Seek and Destroy if you played Call of Duty. And I love that mode. Just, the bomb has been planted. The bomb defused. That I love it. I can't wait. So,
yeah, it looks really good, too. The gameplay looks really good.
Let me read these. Let me read these things, and then I'll let you go loose, because these things I didn't realize. And they were talking about, that was the other thing on Twitter, they're talking about, oh, I can't revive and grab ammo because you have to use tokens. So it says here, Countdown as players spawn on either side, offense or defense, and when the round ends, you swap sides or roll. So Seek and Destroy. Goals, plant, bomb, okay, blah. Each round is worth 1 point, first team to six wins. To revive a teammate, you must use a revive token. Power weapon ammo is only granted to the one player who pulls it. So it's not like you pull it and then your friends get it as they run by. It's whoever pulls it gets it. And then the revive tokens, that's kind of interesting too. You can't be the doctor that just hangs out in the back and revives everybody. Like me in Trials, that's my job. So let's open it to you. 4v4, yeah?
For me, yes.
Yes.
It's based on, and this is what we have now with Destiny 1, but the maps are too big for three and too small for six in most situations. Mm-hmm. So like Asylum, Anomaly, Exis Blue, Burning Shrine, like those are
perfect
4v4 maps. You can still move quickly. You can still team shoot. Uh-huh. You can still do all the things that work in a competitive game mode. I understand it's not as chaotic, but in my opinion, sixes is too chaotic and campy.
Yeah.
People tend to sit in the back with scouts and things like that. And threes is too slow.
And for
if you like, add an extra person, extra two people in there, it's one extra lane. So now the big thing in fours is great is that you can poke, and this is competitive talk, so I apologize, but you can poke a lane and then flank. So for example, like when I run with like Smoke and Bean and Sauce and we play fours, like, I poke a lane and draw, and if I get any ticks moving towards me, that means I've pulled someone off of the main lane, and the rest of my team can push. So now they're either on a 3v3 or a 2v, you know, a 3v2, and I can just retreat out of my lane.
Okay.
So those types of things, that it makes it from a 2v2 or a 2v1 into a, you know, an actual team fight now.
Right.
So in my opinion, 4v4 is the logical conclusion for competitive Destiny. Some people think that they should there should be an option for 3v3 and 6v6. I think the explanation for that is that it splits the community in a matchmaking system that's already not great.
So that's now, where maybe
I'm hoping they
matches.
Fix it, but
maybe private matches fixes that. You know, there you get sixes in there, threes in there, 1v1 in there. Maybe that's what they'll do. Like, it's Rumble. Now, there's no more Rumble than if it's 4v4 across all game modes. So there's no every man for himself or woman, guardian. No every guardian for themselves. I agree with you on that because I feel like with sixes, throw me in there, I feel comfortable in sixes because there's other people around me that can get those shots so I can clean up with the kills or maybe steal a kill, haha. But with threes, I feel like I'm so timid, but yet you hear everybody talk about, you know, like when Jiggler loses his one game a weekend,
right?
The first thing he says is, oh, they were so passive. But that's, I feel like that's how I play, because either you play way too aggressive and you don't know that line between too aggressive and too passive. There's that very fine line when you're playing trials or threes or skirmish that you can either be way too aggressive, and you hear Jiggler do that too when he loses. He's like, oh, I was too aggressive on that. My bad, guys, on Pantheon this past week. Or you can just sit in the back, and then you hear them go, oh, God, guys, they're sitting in the back on their spawns. Jesus, you know. And so you're right.
As Hood says, it's so boring.
Right. Exactly. And I get that now. So fours, I think, is a great response. And it seems like from what I'm sensing from Twitter and the people that were there at the reveal, they were kind of happy about that, 4v4.
Well, that's, I mean, we shouldn't be catering specifically to the ultra-competitive.
Yeah.
But that's what competitive Destiny is right now.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're playing in a tournament for money, it's 4v4.
Right. Yeah, you're right. You had your tournament, which emulated the other things going on. That was 4v4.
Correct.
And all the other rules. So that's Crucible. We'll get into the loadouts here in a second as we get down the list. We talk about the different kind of guns and power weapons and so on and so forth. The next thing they have here is open and accessible. All activities in the world can now be launched without returning to orbit. Patrols, ambient encounters, and chest returns, and there will be much, much more of them. In addition, treasure maps, lost sectors, quests, and new NPCs with side missions called adventures are present. Adventures are shorter missions with self-contained stories for players to learn more about Destiny 2 universe and the characters that live there. Lost sectors are scattered enemy dungeon layers throughout the world you can discover with unique bosses to get treasures. Quests, explore the wild frontier and gain unique items by completing small tasks found throughout the world of Destiny. And public events, unique optional dynamic combat activities that players can join on the fly as they roam around the world solo and with up to 9 other players. Interesting. So those are the modes. I'm looking at this going Legend of Zelda, Legend of Zelda, Legend of Zelda, Destiny. You know, lost sectors with the dungeons, you know, explore to make the food, kind of stuff like that. So now you can do stuff in there. Adventures are like kind of what we did now. After you beat the main story mission, there's a few side missions with Zavala or Eris Morn or a few other people. Public events, they are still here. So this is great, especially I heard you react. We don't have to go to orbit.
Yeah, that's such a quality of life. It seems so little, but I mean, like I saw the guy pull his ghost up, pull up a map, and then just go to a different planet. You're like, are you kidding me? Conceptually, that's not even fathomable at this point.
I know. It's so great. It's so great. Those modes, we kind of talked about that during the clan talk with adventures, lost sectors, and quests. I'm a guy who I love raids and I love looking for like those treasures. Like I got to be that person. I know Toxus is another person like that who has to be 100%ing every game. This is one of those things that I think is meant for those people. They got to 100% the area. It looks like you can explore more of the lands. Not like before where, oh yeah, you see the mountain down there, you can explore it, but we put a soft wall there so you can't get there. Or people like Uber or other people like to glitch out of it and do it. But this sounds like great stuff for people to do while they wait for their friends to get home from work or what have you to do the main stuff. It's good stuff.
It's just pure replayability at this point, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know how many times I mentioned it here, the opportunity to just roll up to where a strike boss would be in the strike and kill that boss. I mean, that's a dungeon.
Yeah.
That's a lost sector right there. You know, these adventures we talk about. God, you know, I wish Zer would spawn on like a patrol place, so you have to go find him or something like that. You know, that's adventures. You know, so it's people with side quests willing to hand out missions for people to go do. So, and then on top of it, there's the map.
Yep,
which we're about to talk
and
about
that's
now.
The next thing, that's the next thing. Oh, you're following along. Cool. in-game map. Players can mark, find and mark lost sectors, treasures, and activities. So you can mark things. And it also talks about public events. And that was the first time we talked about third-party support. to me, that was one of the first third-party things I ever heard of, was there was a site out there for public events in Destiny.
Yeah.
Had a countdown timer. Obviously, it wasn't to the mark, because it would say zero, and you're like, well, wait a minute, guys, it didn't start yet. It gets to negative 5 minutes, and all right, here comes the tank. Cool. All right, here we go. So, and it was perfect for us to use, especially around the time we were going for the sleeper simulant where we needed to defend the Warsats. That site, the traffic must have zoomed through the roof once we got our things that we had to, you know, get the thing for the thing and the thing. They took that and put it in the game now. So now you can, it'll tell you, hey, there's a public event happening in this area of Earth in 5 minutes. Cool. That's great. They're just amazing. So there's four worlds: Earth, Titan, Io, and Nessus. Titan, one of Saturn's moons. Nessus is a strange, unstable planetoid. It's been consumed by the Vex. Io is a moon on Jupiter. And then Earth, we're going into the European Dead Zone, which was strongly asked of when we were playing Destiny 1. We have maps in Widow's Court and Memento, and those are areas that are in... possibly Frontier, probably not. I think that's newer. That's something that's more Twilight Gap. But
yeah, that's just outside the wall. Yep.
But those are areas that we were like, oh, the European Dead Zone. What's all about that? Can we go there? And we never did. And now we are. And I'm assuming that the dude that was in the top of the church at the Widow's Court was Hawthorne, but I'm not sure. Not confirmed.
There's a dude in the top of Widow's Court.
Yeah, yeah. In the video, you see you're standing at the, the top of the church steeple, and he had a sniper. Looked like one of those snipers from like Russia with the towel wrapped around it, his own custom silencer.
Right.
And he started talking, and it sounded very British. Don't know. I mean, technically, most of the people talking are British. Like, what's his, you know, like Shakespeare, whatever. So we got four areas, and they talk about how. In that first mission, the three Vanguard folks leave. So these three areas are where the Vanguard folks went to. Zavala goes to Titan. Kate Six go to Nessus. Akore goes to Io. And we do stuff there. Cool. And those are the areas. So, and it doesn't look like, unless it's part of the later on expansions, we're not going to Mars. We're not going to Venus. We're not going to the Dreadnought. So this is brand new stuff that we're staying. New worlds, we're not visiting the old worlds again, looks like. So
I hope they give an explanation for that, just to tie things in a neat bow.
Yeah, because, I mean,
you know,
we're flying near Saturn's moons. Are we? Is it going to be an Easter egg to see the Dreadnought across the way kind of thing? Or is there, like, smoking things? That's where Oryx's body's sitting? I mean, you know, it's a gas giant, so there's no land on Saturn. But regardless, you know, who knows? But
these
cool.
worlds look gorgeous, my God.
They did. The Vex one looked great with the whole machine planet thing, and then you saw the red like foliage of the forest out there, and you're mm-hmm. walking on the trees. My God. And all the holes. There's so many holes to jump into. You
so
can
many
tell
holes.
You can tell Luke Smith made this game. There's so many holes for you to jump into. But very cool. Then we got the story. Gaul, the leader of the Cabal of the Red Legion, attacks and conquers the last city, the hub location of the first game. As a result, all Guardians lose not only their weapons and armor, but their powers too. The Vanguard are scattered and powerless, each coping there in their own way. It is your goal to find them in a system. So we already told you where they're at. Obviously, there's parts in the game that you have to do to get that. It's going to be very, probably linear, I'm guessing.
I would imagine.
Destiny 2's campaign appears to be highly story-rich, with many more cinematics than Destiny 1. That was said hundreds of thousands of times in the thing, which is cool. Characters such as the Vanguard are also present in combat scenarios, with the player for the first time able to act as allies during certain parts of the story. I love that. You saw the part where you're on the top, where you're about to go find old Saladin in the old days, where you go for the Iron Banner shit, and Zavala's there, like, let me put a bubble up for you. It's like, you put a bubble up for me. That's so cool. It's just seeing him get involved in that fight was very cool, and And the movie too. I love the fact that we did like the Fist of Havoc there on the streets. So cool.
Yeah, that's. I mean,
that was so cool.
I don't know how much you've been like looking at Destiny of the game, but like, God, I think when they first announced the gameplay reveal, like I don't know whenever it was, 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Someone wrote up like what they wanted as like the intro, and they had that like Zavala drops a bubble, and then like Cade pulls out like a sniper golden gun, like these really cool conceptual things, and it was so awesome. And to see them, and I don't know that it was put in there because of that. I don't know if it had any effect, but like to see Zavala like put a bubble down and then like fight against an oncoming thing and like, you know, be the protector that he is as a Titan, like that tiny screenshot, that little bit of a cameo of him. Was more character development than we saw from him in 3 years.
Oh God, yeah, he was just a guy who goes.
It's amazing.
Like he does the funny, weird, awkward line when it's like, you know, fingertips the surface of my mind. Yes, thank you, Aeris. Like that stuff was funny, but that's all you ever got from him. And I was kind of. I think we talked about it a while ago. How we were getting both of us were getting annoyed at Cade a little bit. Like he was he was too comic relief and not. Taken seriously in a game that this was supposed to be a very serious part of the story, but it was so badass to see him pull out the golden gun. I'm like, bam, bam, bam. It was so fucking cool. Oh my God. I was so amazed. He just lit up on fire and it was his whole like quick poof, 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 and
But he still kept his character too, which is the best part. He's like, hold on 1 second, and then like does it and like drops these three dudes like just a baller. And it turns out he's like, Am I right? Yeah. Am I right? And you're like, Yes, you are. Cool. 100 times, yes, you are.
And Ikora, I feel like Ikora is always the bastard stepchild in this because she's just one of those, you're over there. Even though the warlock's the master race, but you're just over there. Just seeing her get so emotional when the speaker was just gone. And she's like, where is the speaker? And Nova Bomb, and the engine's gone. It's like, whoa! And then she just gets on top and rides it down to wherever the hell it goes. But that was cool, too, just to see her just Nova Bomb into nowhere and do that. I'm like, wow, they very, in just a short span of time, gave them so much character, so much emotion, and I'm all for it, man. I'm digging
it. And the worlds, the cool thing is the worlds are tied to these characters.
Yeah.
So you mentioned that like each person is on a certain, each guardian is on a certain planet. Like, Ikora's on Io because it's the last place the Traveler touched prior to... like humanity and the last city being formed.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's considered a sacred place to the warlocks. And, you know, Cade wants to be a hero, so he's just chasing down Vex and killing them. Like, these things are so ingrained into the character and the story, and I imagine the campaign will play off of those items.
You saw in the beginning of the very, very beginning when they talked about the resurrection, and it was kind of one of those weird, like, it reminded me of a Tom Cruise movie. I don't know which one. Maybe The Last Samurai? No. It's because it showed Zavala, like, dead on the ship, and then the ghost resurrected him. He was like, and then he looked around to see what the fuck was going on, and then just got his stuff and moved on. Then he got killed by a fallen soldier, and then got resurrected and looked around, picked up the shit, and walked to where the town is. And he saw, like, shacks. He saw a few other people. He saw the speaker, like, around a fire, like, ooh, the Traveler's coming. But what I'm getting to is, like, with Zavala, he was on the ship. He goes to a planet that's nothing but an ocean. So you're telling me that you're going to be on a world where there's going to be rolling waves and shit all over the place. That's just dynamic effects. It's the world is affected by what you do, and you might have to be, you know, dealing with rolling waves, and the waves are going to come up and crash you at random times. It's not like, all right, on the fifth minute, we got to go, kind of like we wait for the ships on any mission. It's like, oh yeah, the ship's coming in 3, 2, 1, okay, everybody jump. You don't know, because the dynamic water effect might come and be like, oh man, there's three waves in a row. Fuck this. You got unlucky. Like, RNG wasn't in your favor. But that's cool that a map has RNG now. At least that's what they explained. That's what Luke Smith told us. I was kind of excited about that. As you can tell, I can't get a complete sentence. I'm like, this is great.
And that opening scene, though, just to kind of go back to that, that's some dark shit, man. Like
extremely dark. Like I was. We don't there. Like.
So you die. Like in Destiny, you die. You're dead. And then it respawns, and that's the end of it.
And you hear the breathing, like him catching his breath and looking around. That was nope. fucked up, and in a good that's way.
So I think, and we talked about it maybe two podcasts ago, but that's that opportunity for Cade to really shine.
Yes.
Because, like, Akora's pissed off. Zavala's broken.
You know, they
don't have their light. He doesn't have anyone to lead. He failed as a Titan. Akora yep. lost her connection to the light. And Cade is
he went
just
too
lost. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's being a hero? Like, come on.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not his jam.
That's not
so,
his thing.
Like, for that, for him to be, like, it looked like he was in this weird. I don't know if you saw a screen.
It was like a portal, and he went to the Guardian. He's like, Guardian, get me out of here. I don't know where this is taking me.
Like, right. Like so, like that, like it's he's in danger, but he's still kind of keeping that like that lack of composure
right.
as a character trait. So those types of things are so strong. I think the opportunity to play alongside the characters, to talk to them,
mm-hmm.
to learn. You got to know Akora is going to have a monologue about her importance with the light.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's something that I know Chalk has been begging for. I'm looking forward to it. You don't get to see her.
And the hidden. You know what the hidden's all about. And you know the hidden and the queen have something tied in with that. I mean, that's now we're grasping at straws, hoping the queen's involved. That again, we won't dive into that too much. But still, cool if they go down that road. Okay, you're so about the hidden, and you go on this planet. How is that connected? How is that connected with you? How did you even become in the Vanguard? Do we now get to know their origin story? How they became Vanguard? And what kept them there, and what's motivating them? Like, what you heard the voice actor of Zavala. I forget his name, but he was there, interviewed before the stream, and he talked about how he was just at a session at Bungie the other day. So that means they're still doing stuff, and how he got emotional. Now that doesn't mean it's emotional like storyline or emotional like in the past, but it shows he got emotional. So there, you know, there's emotions probably down the line that you're just saying Swag about. He feels like it was his fault that the tower went down because he's such a strong leader, and he saw the fight at the end where he made that last kill, and Shax is on one side and somebody else on the other side of him, and they're like, "Hurrah, we did it." Maybe that was Saladin. I don't know. Somebody they were there like, "We did it." So. Interesting. Just very, very cool shit. I'm very happy. And then got
Lance Reddick, by the way. The most badass name ever.
Lance Reddick.
And I forgot it.
Who apparently plays Destiny and who fucking mains a warlock. He mains a warlock. He's a Titan voice.
Can you imagine, though, if he was a Titan and he you know, hits up the guided games.
Yeah.
And walks in. And it just
well, you heard
we have to go back to the Vault of Glass. Yes. They always do. You're like, I'm sorry, sir. You sound like Zavala.
I get that all the time.
Yeah. Please, sir.
Please keep talking.
Lance, yes. Is that you? Because I'm freaking out.
Well, it's like, you know, you heard the guy when Deej was talking to the then COO of Bungie, who was one of the story leads at the time too. He said he went in and did raids, and you know, he talked about the story where he was in the tower with these randos, and it was around the time Xur came up for the first time. He knew Xur was there. They didn't know Xur was coming, so he played the, "Oh, hey guys, come over here, check this out." And Xur was there, and the one dude actually had enough strange coins to get the Mask of the Third Man. He's running around the tower like, "Look at me, I got the Mask of the Third Man, motherfucker, yeah!" So it's cool, and you know they're out there. You know, Big Show is a big Destiny player. Big Show, the wrestler for the WWE, he's a big mm-hmm. Destiny player. You heard the dude who's in charge of the PlayStation Experience. He is a big Destiny player. You got all the IGN people, Deej and Cosmo play. I've played with the Reddit DTG people. We play with the streamers that are out there. Yep. So there are celebrities out there who you don't know. They might be Bungie people, or they're playing dumb, like, I don't work for Bungie. I mean, Bo talks about a guy he played with that was a Bungie guy. That's so cool. It's so neat to see that they're all out there incognito. They're like, "Hey, how'd you think about this game?" And that's where they're getting their feedback to go, "All right, less of the purples turning to blues. Let's fix this fucking Cryptarch guy," kind of thing like that.
So mind your damn manners.
Yes.
That's what we're trying to say.
See, he's not swearing, and I am. That's also midnight, then I'm tired. But
not you. I was just saying the clan. Like, if you're out there playing the game, you might be playing against. I don't know if you saw the clip, but Crafty was doing secret carries.
Oh, yes.
Undercover carries.
I wish he was doing it on my account.
And he was like, yeah, seriously. And he was like, what do you think of that crafty guy? And you're like, oh, that guy, man, he's so fucking lame. That guy's a pussy, man. Like, he's always talking about crafty. He's just mute his mic, just die, and listen to this guy roast him right in front of him. That's just amazing.
Oh, my God, that's great.
So you end up on a Reddit clip somewhere. Yep. Don't keep your mouth shut.
Right, yeah, so just be careful out there. All right, so moving on. We talked about Gall. He's there. Okay, whatever.
Real quick, one more thing on Gall. First of all, Dominus Gall, badass name. Will no longer be referred to as Gary.
Nope.
I'm putting a stop to that now. His name is Dominus Gall.
And
that's some badass shit.
And apparently our own Enraged Jiggler has already taken that name on PSN. And, yep. Dominus
Sorry.
Gall. But Gall
Sorry,
is with
everybody.
An I. So we might have to change his name to Dominus Gall.
But the other thing, too, is that they talked about the development of the villain. And to me, that's such a huge thing. Like, I look back at villains like Handsome Jack, like, is one of my favorite villains of all time because you almost want him to win type of thing. And so, like, and I mean, that's not what I'm looking for in a villain per se, but you can at least identify. So the concept that Gall has since as Luke Smith puts it, since was a wee turtle. he's been told and been under the understanding that he and his Red Legion were supposed to receive the Traveler. And he's not there to destroy humanity. It's not an extinction clause. He's there to prove that he should have been chosen.
Right.
And that's above revenge from Oryx. It's above just like chaos from Crota. It's above self-preservation, which is Axis's concept. This is an act. It's not an act of aggression. It's an act of proof.
That's some, you know what that is? That's some Sephiroth shit right there.
It's just, I love it. And, you know, you almost, you know, you think like, you know, I'll bring it back to Handsome Jack. Handsome Jack wanted to make the world safe by getting rid of bandits. But at what cost? So you're almost like, okay, I get where he's coming from, but he's a little bit eccentric with it. This is very similar. You want to prove to yourself, but at what cost? And
so
it really makes a deep character. It's a really in-depth concept. So, and I'm thrilled.
Dumb question.
Sure.
Handsome Jack, Borderlands?
Yes, Borderlands.
Whew, thank God. Okay. I have never played Borderlands. I just
oh man, you gotta play Borderlands.
I know. I'm sorry. Because I got it on the 360 when it was free, and I think we can delve into this. I'm the kind of guy that likes slow games, i.e., if the game is too fast, I get dizzy and I can't play it. So, for example, I just picked up a brand new video card. The box is staring in front of me. The GeForce GTX 1060 Supercharged, 3 gigabyte, not 6. It's 3. I put it in. I'm playing Player Unknown Battlegrounds. But first, I turn on BioShock, a game that I've played on the old card. Looks great. I played on this one. Oh my God, what a fucking difference! But now it's too fast. I feel like I'm going to get visual sickness from, you know, car sickness, motion sickness from playing because it's running at faster than 60 frames a second. I felt like Borderlands to me was too fast because I feel like the 360 version of it was at 60 frames. May or may not be, but I feel like the game was just way too fast to the point where, all right, I'm getting overwhelmed. There's a lot going on. I don't know.
Yeah, there's a lot. The graphics are an awkward,
yeah,
because like,
they're that cel-shaded stuff. So I think because of that and everything else, I kind of was like, nah, I'll go to Fallout or I'll do other games instead of Borderlands. And I missed out because Borderlands was a great game. And they talk about in the development of Destiny that Borderlands was a major influence in the style, the gameplay, the boss, the fact that you, Swag, could be a master person in Borderlands. Me, as a guy who maybe is level 3, can do shit together and you're not going to stomp them and stuff like that. Kind of like now in Destiny.
Yeah. Last thing I'll say. Greatest enemy, or greatest like villain, Handsome Jack. Greatest character is Mr. Torg. Just phenomenal. You missed out. And then the greatest DLC of any video game of all time. It's Tiny Tina's DLC, where she runs a Dungeons and Dragons campaign, and you're playing it, and while she's like telling the story,
oh.
It's phenomenal.
All Borderlands. Okay.
All Borderlands.
I'll look into it.
Those are.
All right.
Those of you out there looking for a new game that's not playing GTA with me and Toxus and Ginger and those guys, Borderlands 2, probably $30 at this point,
yeah.
Maybe less.
Oh, yeah, probably. But let's talk about the 60 frames and 30 frames. I personally don't care. Some people really do care. And let's just put this out there, what we know or what is assumed out there.
200 frames.
200 frames. Do I hear 201 frames? 201. 201.
Lumi just tweeted 201 frames.
201 frames. Oh my God.
We're in a bidding war.
So it looks like PC is getting unlimited frames depending on the card you have, depending on the setup you got. Congratulations. And the PC game's going through Battle.net, which is Blizzard. Cool. And then they're saying, and there's multiple sources, and again, like you said to me before we started doing the podcast, we want to hear from Bungie's mouth first. We're hearing a lot of mist. We're hearing a lot of information saying this person from Bungie said it's 30. This person from Bungie said it was 60. Tefty Tef's coming out there saying, oh my God, it's 30. Lupo's coming out saying it's 60. We don't know what it is based on if it's PS Pro, Scorpio, the PS system like I have the first generation one or whatever, that is the console going to be 30 or 60 frames. Now, I'm going to be ignorant. I don't know what the fuck that means other than, is the game going to be playing really fast looking or is it really slow looking? Like, I don't mind the way Destiny is now. I think it's great. I don't see how 60 frames can make things better, but that's the inexperienced in me and the raider in me. Now, the PvP guy like you who plays Overwatch, it's 60 frames a second. How is that different, and is that a big deal to you that we may not be getting 60 frames a second for Destiny 2?
So, for me, it's not so much the quality.
Okay.
So 30 to 60, the only thing you would notice was that if you went from 60 to 30 or vice versa.
Okay.
So when I first started playing Overwatch a year ago, actually, it was 60 frames. And the reason they could do 60 frames was because of it's a very low...
it looks very cel-shaded.
It's not taxing on your system because it's... There's not a whole lot of particle effects. Almost everything is hit scan, you know. So it's not. There's no, like, explosions are tiny, and it's cartoony. Whereas Destiny is a little bit more advanced, which is why it makes it more difficult. Also, they dumbed down the resolution on Overwatch, so they lowered the resolution quality. I think it runs at like 720 as opposed to full 1080, and they bumped up the frames per second.
Okay.
So there's that inverse relationship sometimes, if you have to like. Essentially overclock, but anyways, that's the only problem as far as quality for me. If I went from 60 very early on playing Overwatch and then coming back to Destiny like within the same night, I would just get sick.
Okay.
And that's because it feels like things are moving at half the speed, because technically they are. I mean, if you think about it, 60 frames per second dropping to 30 frames per second, you're now getting half as many frames in that second.
It's like going from a soap opera to a sitcom.
Or it's like driving on the highway for, you know, I'm driving from Chicago to Detroit and I'm doing 75 the whole way, and then you get off the freeway and you're doing 50. You're like, oh my God, this is the worst. I'm doing 10 miles an hour.
Right.
So it's really difficult. I used to get sick from it. I've gotten past that. So for me, quality-wise, not a big deal. I don't really care if it's 30 versus 60. Right. The problem I have with it is the implications moving forward.
Okay.
With Bungie not being able to or refusing to, whatever the reason is, they're not capable of it on this system.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the reason is for them to not push to 60 frames, feels like they missed the ball. They have no intention of going competitive. I don't know what the implication is, but it's not good.
It means
that it's not equivalent to every other game.
Right.
Call of Duty 60. Division 60, Overwatch is 60.
Yeah, I was just gonna ask if Call of Duty 60. It's gotta be. It looks 60.
Yeah, it's 60. So that's where I'm upset, as opposed to, and then on top of it, PC's like 60 base and then uncapped at that point.
Yeah,
it feels.
And that's confirmed, because next to all the PC stations, there were all these handouts there, and they were taped to the PC station, and that was pictured and put on Twitter, so that's out there. The consoles weren't, because all they played on were PS Pros, and that's why there was some discrepancy, because some people were like, well, they didn't turn that feature on, or it was off, or this was just a test mode. They talked about this was a build that was ready for a couple of days, maybe even a couple of weeks, and that they're still working on their main build, and this was what was just available for them at the time. Who knows if it'll... And it's, that was the hope, is that, oh, when the beta comes out, it'll be 60. And then some are like, no, it's always going to be 30. So who knows what's going to happen? We'll wait for Bungie to come out. And I feel like at this point, they've been so transparent about everything else, and they've been very good about it, and they've been holding to their word, is that if it has to be 30 for whatever reason, because older models of the Xbox One and PS4s are the reason why, so it couldn't hold up to the standards of the Pro or the Scorpio or what have you, they explain that. And they explain it in such a way that makes us go, oh, okay, and not... Bungo Christ. You know, I feel like they'll be good about that. They've been good about everything else lately, I feel. So we'll see.
So I did just look up. I'm on four different websites, including US Gamer, Polygon, Heavy, and IGN. They all say 60 and uncapped on PC, 30 frames on console.
Okay. There we go.
So that's again, take it with a grain of salt. I'm just reporting what I read.
Yeah,
the internet. When I'm starting to see multiple major websites put information out all within the last 8 hours that say 30 frames on console, I'm starting to believe it.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll see the word. I mean, I think, was there a weekly update today too? There probably wasn't.
Probably.
I don't know. I left my other phone home. That usually I get alerts when Bungie, and Deej tweet.
Okay.
I didn't see anything here. No, it's just a lot of stuff about, hey, our friends Lucky and Buttwipe are live from the premiere, blah, blah, blah. Okay. All right, so let's move on. There's a few more things before we wrap up here. Weapon types. That's going to be a popular one. We have three weapon types, kind of like what we have now with primary, secondary, and heavy. But in Destiny 2, we're going to have kinetic, energy, and power. So kinetic is what we have now, other than the adept exotics with the elemental primary. So you have your, you know, whatever, hand cannon, sidearm, blah, blah, blah. Then you have your energy, which is a gun, could be primary, could be secondary. Nope, could be primary. Sorry, primary. That has an element burn on it. So a hand cannon with void burn. A scout rifle with solar burn, stuff like that. So that could be in your second one. And then there's power weapons, which looks like we have sniper rifles, fusion rifles, shotguns, rocket launchers, and a new grenade launcher thing, which when I saw that pop out, I was like, holy shit! Just threw those grenades out at that yellow bar at the end of that one section in the game. So cool. And I saw this. I don't know if you caught this, but I caught it. The Dubious Volley.
Dubious Volley, I saw that. There's a few of them out there.
It's there. That's the famous microphone, looking exotic that, right, Luke Smith was like, hey.
Sputnik look in.
Yeah. That was that famous one where people asked, is that going to be in the game? Luke Smith's like, you data mining motherfuckers. No, it's not in the game. We made all these designs. It didn't make it. Sorry. But look, there
it
is. Did
you see a fire?
Did I see a fire?
Yeah. They have a screen or one of those clips where it fires. It looks like it's a burst rocket launcher.
That, yeah. Yeah. Maybe. I think I meant like flamethrower. Like, do we have flamethrowers?
Oh, no. Did you see it like shoot?
I did, yeah. That's how I noticed, because I was messaging a few guys, and when they shot it, I think it was in the streets, like near the end of the alleyway, and it shot out. I was like, "There is your Dubious Folly." They're like, "Oh, you're right." So, like, there you go. So, kind of neat. I think it's cool. In my opinion, you've combined fusion rifles, sniper rifle, shotguns, rockets, and all this stuff all in one thing. So we don't have to worry about this. You got your sniper and your shotgun and your fusions and your secondary and this, that, the other thing. So I think it's a great move. What do you think? You like that?
I like it for PvE. I'm a little bit worried about PvP in a second. But so we had like a couple conversations about this, and it seems to be massively negative for whatever reason. But in my opinion, two things. Again, this is me reacting as far as what this implies.
Sure.
And for me, the biggest thing is that it implies that your weapon choices are now much more important.
Right.
It's no longer this... Kakitas, disc 43, disc 47, whatever, you know, like hung jury. It's no longer like permanently slotted PVE weapons. You know, so you're going to run this, your longbow or your casket medic, triple tap, you know, horizon, and then the sleeper. You know, so like it's, you have to make a choice now. Are you going to be the bubble, you know, the guy up front with the shield and the barrier and the shotgun?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to be the guy in the back sniping? Are you going to be the guy who's running sidearm hand cannon? He's clearing ads because he's got a ton of ammo. You know, so it for me, it forces, you're going to run heavy machine gun. You know, so it turns it into an MMO.
Right.
It says, look, we don't care what you put. We don't care what you slot. You got to slot 3. These are your choices. So it really gives you a huge open opportunity to specialize. You know, hey, I've got a really good rocket launcher. I got nothing else in the slot. Like, let me run rockets. Mm-hmm. You know, that means you can run heavy machine gun. This person can run sniper, do ad control with the, you know, an auto rifle. So there's just a lot of opportunity.
And
the other thing is
the raids too. Think about in the raids, you know, you got, we talk about Wrath of the Machines. You know, I have a longbow synthesis with triple tap and casket mag. So that to me does, I feel like it does more damage number wise compared to some of those rocket launchers that have been coming out, you know, the cluster bomb rocket launcher that's been out there. That's how I feel like my numbers are higher than some of the people in the clan. As we all go in dark drink at the very final phase, but then the other numbers are so high because of bombs and what have you. Now, if you have two essentially primary guns, one elemental, one kinetic, you have to strategically tell your clanmates, okay, who's using this, who's using that, who's using this. You know, some fights need rocket launchers for this sign for like add things, and other people need DPS. Now you actually have to be like, you're my go-to sniper guy, and you're my go-to rocket guy, and you're my go-to grenade launcher guy, clearing those ads. So that's going to make it tough too, because we're so used to everybody's got snipers, everybody's got rocket launchers, and do what you
gotta
do.
Everyone's got sleeper.
Yep.
Everyone stand in a circle around the guy who's buffing you and shoot.
Yeah.
So like, and that was my second point, 100%.
Nice.
I don't want to be sitting in the back shooting at a guy who's stationary with a big like glowy eye. Like that's fine. It's a raid. I get it. It's a damage race, but like seeing the movement, and it wasn't a raid, but seeing that guy with the big yellow bar at the end of that mission.
Yeah.
Like that guy was mobile.
Yeah.
He was all over the place.
You could not get a shot on him.
He had a huge health pool, but it wasn't like,
but you noticed
boss, like, it wasn't like boss heavy.
No, because when the Warlock one did the Dawnbreak super, that fucker melted quickly. So I don't know if that means like you know, you saw Bife tweeted a picture on the bottom of something that says lore, press L3. I don't know, maybe with certain things, you know how sometimes you look at the shields of the knights, their arc. So you use an arc weapon, the shield goes away kind of relatively fast. Maybe certain enemies have certain weaknesses, so anything that's like the flame shield of the warlock, boom, that's an immediate kill, but not so much the arc dancer, whatever you call that person.
Sorry. Right, arc strider.
The arc strider has a little bit more trouble with these Cabal Legion people, so maybe that's what it is too, because you saw with the guns, it's like this boss was not going down as fast as they should, and all of a sudden, and it went from like 75% to zero. I'm like, whoa, that was quick. So maybe.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to like dynamic boss encounters, both in strikes and the raid, because this, again, like there's just not an opportunity. You're not gonna have, and not everyone's gonna have sniper ammo.
Right.
Like not everyone's gonna have rockets. Not everyone's gonna have these things. So being able to specialize and assign roles, as opposed to just like, okay, well, we definitely need a Titan. Like, that's really the only thing you do right now, right? Like, you got to have a Titan probably to run weapons in the raid,
or
a
melting point now, too. Yep.
Or a melting point now. So you just, like, there's always, you know, you got to have a Titan on Vogue, you got to have a Titan on Wrath, you got to have a Titan on. So, so you kind of like specialize based on class.
Right.
But now you can add weapons into that, too.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good change. I'm a little bit nervous for PvP because, like, I thought of this.
Hmm.
There's a chance you run, like, Last Word and then, like, Elemental Fatebringer and then a Sniper. That's filthy, right?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
So, I mean, like, the guy here in the picture has got a grenade launcher, a sidearm, and a hand cannon. That's pretty dumb, too.
Yeah. I was hoping for the dual-wielding stuff. Like, I I know that's more Halo-ish, but I loved it Halo 2 when you had the submachine gun in the sidearm. And
right.
I love that, but that's a Halo thing. But
you could like strip shields with the SMG and then like finish them off with a pistol.
Yep.
And
I was all about
some
that.
Cool stuff like that.
I just hold down the left trigger and pistol with my right trigger. Oh,
exactly.
Oh, so good.
But I mean, there's really like, I know it doesn't translate, so I you know, it's not going to be that big of a deal probably, but like there's a lot of primary weapons. I mean, you could run Vision of Confluence and, you know, a hand cannon. You're on a Luna and Vision of Confluence.
Right.
Or, you know, the Pulse from, I can't remember the name of it now.
The Wrath one?
The Wrath one, or even the one from Crota.
Right.
And you run that Pulse in the Elemental slot, and then you run Luna, Pulse and a Luna, and a Sniper.
Wow.
I mean, there's a lot. And then my next question is, and this is really, I just don't know. You can pick a heavy. You can pick like a grenade launcher, or a rocket launcher, or a heavy machine gun in your like power weapon slot.
Yeah.
So you can just go and pick up like heavy machine gun ammo?
Yeah, it's a heavy. I mean, and you have to pull it too. Like, no, you
can't. So you have to pull it, like, and they're coming up pretty frequently.
Yeah, somebody said it was like every 30 seconds, kind of like special ammo is right now.
It's so fast.
Yeah.
So fast to have a grenade launcher.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's an instant kill. And that's another thing, too. I did read that there, that there is no instant kills. Like, stickies don't kill you right away. They take your shield down. So there's nothing in Crucible so far that's been instant kill other than power weapons and supers. Cool.
Right, power weapons, sniper headshots.
And apparently Titan Skating is gone. No, there's no more Titan Skating. I read that, too.
At least not as far as current goes.
Current, yeah, I'm sure maybe
there's there's a Titan Skate out there somewhere that Gabriel will find.
Well, yeah, or there's an exotic boot that makes you skate, something like that, who knows.
Something like that, right?
The other thing to notice, too, if you look at this weapon, even though this weapon sounds weird, this Nad-da-dod, weird, at the very bottom it says, no weapon mod has been applied.
That's right, weapon mods. I did see that.
We don't know what they are, but holy shit, that's so cool. And these perks have been cool too. Sir Demetrius came out and said something about how, with some of the hand cannons, initial shots are more accurate or whatever it is after a reload or something. Like, that's pretty cool. Or you can reload faster at the cost of less bullets in your magazine. So you can like mash the button to get your hand cannon that normally has 10 shots, maybe only has 5, but you are reloading as fast as you can, so you didn't get all your shots in. That is really cool. Like,
yeah, that's interesting.
Take your time, you get your 10 shots. Don't take your time, you only get 5, but make them count. So there's a few of those perks out there. Check them out on there if you're looking elsewhere and stuff like that. Check that out. I'm sure there's going to be a site in the next couple of days that's going to pull all those perks in, and that's only probably a sliver of what's actually out there. They talk about clan support again. I'll just read this bio quick. The original Destiny clans had flaws of only being accessible from official app or website, not making much of a difference in the game itself, i.e. we have the Bungie site. Since we moved to Discord, we don't use the Bungie site anymore. I have like 40 messages on my app because of people asking to get in, but that's where Chalk and Lucy come in and Miggy come in. They are the ones that take care of that. But in the meantime, I have all these notifications on my phone. The Destiny 2 clan system allows the finding and joining of clans right from the menus. Also features a system where one or more members of the clan can help the entire clan earn rewards by playing events such as raids and strikes, even when other members are not present. These clans are also make a big impact in finding teams for strikes and raids in the Gilded Games features. We talked about that. This picture shows this clan, which is Every Rose Has Hawthorn. Cute. But it shows the logo, which now we can do that ourselves. And it has a little memo thing there. And it also has something that says Season 1. I'm not sure if that means Destiny 1 or just Season 1 as in Season 1 of Destiny 2. But it looks like you can look. And it says clan level, so it looks up what level we are, which is going to be important for all of us so we can show how good we are in the game. We get our level up to show that, hey, yeah, we actually know what we're doing. So
how big our EPN is.
Yeah, exactly. How big it is. And the last thing that's here says PC. We talked about that, how it's got 4K support, which is 3820 by 2160, uncapped frame rate, full mouse and keyboard support with custom key mapping, text chat, adjustable field of view, detailed PC screening setups, and then a 21:9 monitor support. Note, even though this doesn't affect us because Immortalis Rising will stay PS4, but for those who are going to pick it up on PC, me included with this new video card, the PC version will be slightly delayed. It will not be released on September 8th. The PC release date should be announced in a few weeks. So not coming out At the same time, I feel like that's a strategy move, being that they talked at the end about how Sony and Bungie and Activision are very thankful for Sony's support, even though Major Nelson from Xbox was there, which was kind of weird. He showed a picture of the Elite controller, like, this looks great for your Destiny game. I'm like, ooh, burn. But I think that's a smart move on their part to push consoles first before PC, because PC is going to get their sales. We know that. Game is console first. A lot of the people will stay console. There's a few that already said they're going PC, but why hurt the sales of Sony when you also have the PC version go at the same time? So, makes sense. It sucks for those who maybe are going for worlds first in certain things. Obviously, if, say, the Raid doesn't come out to the end of September like they did with Vault of Glass, those on PC are going to have a disadvantage of it. But, like, some of us were saying in the chat earlier, not today, but, like, earlier in the week when with PC and PS4, those of us who are going to dabble in both, you know, we were looking at it as PC is our PvP platform and PS4 is our PvE platform. So, you know, I wouldn't be using the PC version to go raid. I would use the PC version to delve into Crucible. So we'll see. I talked a lot. Do you have anything to add about that?
I mean, I can't. It's so much. I have a tough time maintaining one character.
I know.
Let alone three characters, let alone six characters.
Yeah.
So I may get it at some point in time, depending on
me too.
The reviews. I don't think it's going to be my first thing.
No. Like, my PS4 version's paid off.
Yep.
I don't plan on getting... I'm not getting PC the minute it downloads. It'll be one of those things where, like, if we get to October, November, I'll be like, all right, here's $60. I'll go on Battle.net and download it and then
see
how it is. Because my video card, it's good. I know it's not the best. I know you have a 1070. 1080s are out there, too.
1080s are ridiculous.
Yeah. So I can already see now with Battlegrounds, the few times I've played it, I'm not running at Ultra, and it still lags a little bit. I'm sure Destiny's going to be in the same boat where you're going to get those folks that have the money, mostly the streamers, get those 1080,
yep,
those 1080 Ti's, run it at Ultra, and yeah, they might have an advantage. Or it might be like Battlegrounds, where if you turn foliage down and play with the things, you have the advantage by scaling down compared to Joe Schmo, who's got everything scaled up. So who knows? Who knows?
I just can't commit to learning how to play PvP on a. I'm having enough trouble with between Battlegrounds, H1, and Overwatch. I have enough trouble dealing with that mouse and keyboard.
Yeah.
Alone. Do you see all the inputs?
Yes.
Oh my god. Shift is run. Control is crouch and roll. And
it's. I'm so used to the days of Half-Life where it's WASD, spacebar, control and alt and shift and maybe tab. And now I have Q and E to lean left and right, and Z to prone, and C to crouch, and V to go from first person to over the shoulder. And then you have all the hotkeys for your guns and your bandages and stuff. Yeah, it's a lot. I'm like, boy, it's been a while since I played a PC game. And everybody else. And you know, my mouse and keyboard are wireless. So, and the way I sit at my desk where I play PS4 when I stream, it's higher, so of course I don't have the great posture for PC gaming, so it's just a lot. It's a lot where everybody else has it perfect with their desk. Like, I know Ethernet has got the baller setup going on with him, so so
he needs to sacrifice looks in the setup, though.
He does, but the man looks good when he's streaming. So so I think that's it. I think I hit everything. This is most of everything.
I think the only thing we didn't touch was the subclass updates.
Subclass, yeah, we talked about it, but we didn't really talk about it. So, no. Dawnblade is Warlock, Solar Warlock, so no self-res. Well, you might have self-res, but this is your starter. Your starter, your Radiant Sword. Launch waves of energy. You launch waves of energy at enemies, as well as deliver devastating melee attacks. The Titan, the Sentinel Super, which is the Captain America. You have a Void Shield, protecting them from attack, as well as being able to throw Captain America style at enemies. They actually said that on the site. And finally, the Hunter Super Arc Strider is a long electric staff that appears in the Guardian's hand as they flip and spin and perform graceful and powerful attacks.
And then there's some updates with the trees, too, which looks really cool.
Very cool. So the Gunslinger shows up here. They have it's called the Marksman Dodge. So it's kind of like a Shade Step, but not really. But one of the cool things about it is that you press the double circle, or, you know, what the same, or in my case, I do Puppeteer, so double R3. or
the only way to play.
Yes, I will now agree with that. Somebody was explaining that if you're running at them with this dodge, you can easily track them. So it's not like Shade Step where they go invis and they kind of go away from a little bit. Here you can still go after them if you're playing PvP, but the cool part is you dodge and your gun's reloaded. Okay, cool.
Yes. So McCree.
Cool. Yeah.
Yes.
It's great. And just the pose they have, like the gunslinger pose they have here, a lone wolf who lives for the perfect shot. It looks like
so
Kate.
Good.
It's so badass.
Also, did you see that he hammers down on the golden gun?
Yes.
Like when you shoot it, it's back. Like the last word. Yes. When you hit the back, you hit the fan fire. Oh. Boom, boom. And it had 6 shots. Nice. Did you hear that?
No, I saw the 3. I didn't see 6.
Golden gun had 6 shots.
Beautiful.
Titan Smash was mobile.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so you pop it, and then you can sprint, and you get increased speed while sprinting, and then you can, like, smash multiple times.
Dude!
Yup.
Dude! Yep.
They did it right, though.
Wow! Wow, that's so awesome. And then it looks like they do have self-res, because I'm looking at the Warlock now.
Really.
It's just a matter of which one you pick, the Empowering Rift, or... it's the same look for the self-res, but maybe it's called something different, but we'll see when we get to it. The beta, they said it will be announced at the end of the summer. Our guess is they're going to announce at E3, and then E3 they'll give us a date.
It'll go live E3, I think, the day after.
Technically no alpha, unless they're calling this the alpha for the streamers, but cool, whatever. I mean, good for them. They earned it. They themselves help make Destiny what it is. We watch them stream. We want to be like them. Some of us play with them on a regular basis, and that helps us get to be better. And you know, we talk about it as ourselves being the lifeblood of the 1%. We look at them too as our examples at times to be the part of the 1%. To be like, I want to be like Lucky and Buttwipe. I want to be like Crafty. I want to be like Sir Demetrius. I want to be like Slayerish, who doesn't play anymore, but still. People still want to be efficient in PvEs as Slayers used to be. Now it's more Estorok than anything, but it wasn't Estorok, though, that did that. Did you see that video? The guys that did all the raid clears, boss clears, no weapons, no deaths.
Oh, my God.
Unbelievable. And all at
390. I still haven't recovered from Slayer Age. no weaponing Crota solo.
Oh,
so,
the video I had to stop, and I had to call my wife, and I was like, you need to look at this. Because she's seen me do orcs a million times, or a 100 and some odd times. And when we saw the Great Gatsby do the first ever solo orcs clear, holy shit. It was so
impressive shit.
You just had to sit there and go... Like he's just
like clapping like in your broom like yes
God. Like yes, and then you sit there and go, well, what have I done with myself playing this game? These guys are soloing orcs and I'm barely going positive on Twilight Gap. I'm for Christ's sake,
I'm trying 1.5 hour clears and they're soloing it, no big deal.
And then you see their notes like, it took us 67 hours to do this. We're like, oh God, no, you enjoy
no thanks, I'm good,
yeah, I have a life.
But yeah, that's pretty wild. But yeah, I like the shade. They got like the Shade Step reload.
Yeah,
I saw the Titan had like a barrier.
Yeah, it looked like ice.
Like a little like square shield in front of him, which was cool.
It was like an ice thing. That's what it looked like to me. It looked like something you see from Final Fantasy, and then like
ice cool. Or like a hologram maybe or something like that. I'm thinking future.
Very cool.
I don't know what else anyone else had. Oh, the Warlock. They had the. Like, slam down? I don't know if you saw that in the stream.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, you know how... And thank God, because I talk about it. I was doing the raid with, I believe it was Pixie the other day. And I hit it with the Warlock where if... So, Axis, and we're in the middle. And say Axis went left or right, and you have to turn around to go slam your plate to get Guardian empowered. But as you're running to the back, the person with you or near you is maybe running out of the way, and you happen to touch butts, and you just float away. It looked like, with the Warlock, if you happen to float away, you hit a button, you slam right immediately to the ground. Love it! If that's the case, thank you, because I hated how I just floated away to my death, and just like, bye, so long, because I can't do anything about it. You can't cancel, can't jump cancel as a Warlock. So, or it's hard to. So, I don't know if that was part of the super. I did see that they had their super, and then they went like down into that.
Yeah, it looks
canyon.
Like I think they're calling it class abilities. Is that the thing?
Love it.
Yes, it's got like the slam down. It also looked like it had. Angel of Light. They were using Angel of Light, which was interesting.
You're in the air, getting the...
Yep.
Yeah.
When you ADS.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So that was kind of cool that they would, like, jump up, fly, get some shots off, and then ADS, get more shots off, and then, like, slam to the ground so they get back up. It was real cool, like, DPS optimization, like, to see using that. So that was cool.
Absolutely. Awesome. So that's where we're at with Destiny 2. When we get more information, we'll talk about them. But we wanted to podcast today a little bit for us to share our reactions and talk about what's going on. I mean, we didn't even talk about, like, weapon makes or foundries. They haven't even talked about that in the regular thing. And,
The SMG, maybe.
Yep. You know, the grenade launchers, all that stuff looked phenomenal there. Everything looked great. Once more information comes out from Bungie, Swag and I will come on here. We got to get Liam in here. Liam was our Guardian of the Month this month for the month of May. We got to get him on here so we can talk about maybe what he thinks, or even if he did see it, because there are still some people in the clan that maybe haven't seen the reveal yet because they got, like, life things going on or whatever. But we can chat with them about
it. No, they've seen it.
Ginger. No, Ginger hasn't because he's in South Dakota.
Oh, that's right. He's in South Dakota.
Yeah, he's with his in-laws.
Speaking of Ginger.
Oh, speaking of Ginger.
There have been some affiliates.
Oh, yeah. So earlier, the last time we talked, it was just me as the affiliate.
The lone wall breaker.
The lone wolf. And yes, I broke the walls. And I broke them down because after I got it, we have now Swagmonster 51. We now have Etheric. We now have RP Ginger. We now have Bo Solaris. We now have Toxus 142. And that's it.
Is it? I think it's six. And you're seven?
I'm seven. There we go. All right, there we go.
I think so.
So there you go. So DRM, 3CIX, yeah. Swagmonster 51, Bo Solaris, Etheric, RP Ginger, Toxus_142. There right now are your...
Mr. McNasty.
Oh, Mr. McNasty 247.
Seven.
He doesn't have his on now, or actually the way it works for him is you have to donate $100 worth of bits to get... the bits go through because he's afraid of the taxes thing. So secret, it's out there.
Wait, really? He's afraid of the taxes?
Yeah. Well, because it being that we are, we're now technically contractors.
1099.
And so any money we get in, we have
spoiler alert. I'm an accountant.
Oh, so I think we have to pay in like a half or a significant chunk of what we get in donated. We have to pay back pretty much. So right. And he doesn't want that to happen. So he's like, I just cool that I got it. Eventually we're going to get subs. We're already talking emotes. I know Bo has his emote ready. I'm trying to get my emote ready. I'm trying to do like a man bear pig, but I'm trying to find the way to get around, you know, copyright. And right. But I have there's some people like Holtzman's person that does theirs. She offers like $30. I know we have some people in the clan that are offering money. There's other people that, so they're everywhere. Just do your research, you know. We've got people everywhere doing stuff like that. Either people that are helpful, you know, graphic design majors. We have some in clan that do that. I know Gary does it, Kath does it, a lot of people do it. We'll see what happens. But those are our affiliates. We now have seven. Few more left. I know Under the Hood just crossed 50. I know Jack Collier 564, which is now known as Cracker Jack Gaming.
Soon to change again, I understand.
Oh, is it? Okay. But he just hit 50. I know Robo's at 50 plus. He's at like 70.
Ballsy's got some big numbers.
Ballsy is our clan leader, if you didn't know. Everybody thinks Bo is our leader, which Bo is leading in a lot of categories, but not with followers. Followers goes to Ballsy at 246, I believe. So
I was guilty of that. I was like, man, Bo be killing it with followers. Bo, and here comes Ballsy with the big 240.
I think Bo, as of yesterday, hit 148. He's almost at 150. I'm a few away from 100. You are at close to 125, or you're past that?
I think I just passed.
Yeah. So we got some milestones here, and
some,
you know,
good numbers going on.
Great numbers, and it's all from other. You know, I'm playing different games. You're playing Overwatch. I know Bo's been sticking with Destiny, and I know Ballsy plays everything else but Destiny at this point. But it's great because again, that's what we're doing. We got to do something. You know,
sorry,
Destiny 2
beta comes out. Our lives are over. Everyone knows those, right?
but yeah, so congratulations to all the new affiliates, all six new affiliates other than me. Very awesome. We're excited to see the great stuff that everybody's going to do, including you. I know you've been working hard for that as well. So I will flip the shoe to the other foot and say congratulations to you, my friend.
Thank you.
Very hard, and your stream has been looking fantastic, and your new equipment that you've been getting. And I'm excited to hear your voice changer. You're starting to work on that. So
I'm starting to work. Yeah, I've got all the mic and stuff. I got to download some software.
I
tried to set it up last night at 1 in the morning when I got back from the baseball game. It didn't go well.
Oh, boy.
You should see the chat log from last night. John jumped in to help me. And he was like, why is it so loud? Oh, it hurts my ears. No. Like doing his John stuff. And then he sent me a message later. He was like, sorry, I was yelling. I was also drinking. Need to do this, this, and this. I was like, oh, thanks.
Hey, thanks, John. Good old John. What else we got going on? So Liam guarding the month. We got our affiliate folks. We haven't got any new technical members yet. Really?
No,
since we haven't had any recruits or any votes coming up. I know we got a vote coming up at the end of the week. We had a lot of birthdays. We had a lot of May birthdays. I'm not going to try and name them all because I'll forget some, so I'll just say happy birthday. I'll just say me because my birthday is coming up this Sunday, but there you go.
Meet up in a month.
The beta.
We got the meetup in a month.
Oh, the meetup, yes. In New Haven, Connecticut.
Yep.
Which is
16th and 17th and 18th, if anyone.
So depressing. I can't go.
Yep.
I know.
I'm bummed.
I live 90 miles away from New Haven, Connecticut. There's an IKEA that I shop at right next to the Yale campus, and yet it's my daughter's birthday, so I can't make it.
Oh, well, you know.
But, you know.
You can sneak out and.
Yes, I'll sneak out and drive the hour and a half. Honey, I got to go. Where are you going? Oh, nowhere. Oh,
just to the corner.
I'm going around. Well, my new thing now is I'll come downstairs and do something, whether it be Destiny, whether it be something on my computer, and I'll say, I'll be back in 5 minutes. She goes, all right, I'll see you in an hour. So I can do that now. Like, I'll be back in an hour. She's like, I'll see you tomorrow. So could do that.
I'm looking forward to that.
The meetup. Yeah, a lot of number of people too. Right? You, Lucy, right? And TBC, obviously, because he's hosting.
Right.
Chalk.
Miggy. Chalk. Ballsy.
Nice.
Bix.
Nice.
Smoke. Good group.
I mean,
yeah.
Smoke should be there. He's my Rhode Island representative, and he lives down the road from me, and thus 90 minutes away from you. So.
There you go.
Voila. So get a meetup. We'll get some pictures because you saw in the stream when they talked about clans, when Emmy was talking about, you had all the clan pictures. We could totally get those nice shots now of us just standing there going, woo, before the drinking. Woo! So I think that's it. Destiny 1-wise, there's nothing really going on. The vendor rolls are happening. The Arms Day rolls are happening. And who gives a fuck? It's. Right. I mean,
you're not going to beat the Pally. You're not going to.
Nope. And the
God on Horizon.
Nope. The God rolls are out there. You're not going to beat the Icebreaker High-End Cannon combo. And
nope.
Folks, there's less than 3 months left till Destiny 2. So just enjoy the game now and
chill the fuck out.
Yeah, chill the fuck out. But we'll be back. We'll be back in a few weeks. We'll get Liam on here. If any other information comes out, we're glad to talk about it, and we'll dive in from there. So, any last words, my friend?
No, I don't think so.
All right, this was a good podcast. It was enjoyable. Episode 12.
We got stuff to talk about, man.
Episode 12 of the IMMO PC podcast, coming live at 12:41 a.m. And the first one that we can actually swear, motherfucking swear. So. Excellent. So this is DRM saying good night, and we'll see you around the galaxy, Guardians. Take care. Best Jack is from the party. International.